In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is All Saints Sunday, and what that means is that this is a day when we look back over the past year and think about the members of the congregation that we have lost, that have gone to be part of the church triumphant with the Lord. And this year, I think we only had a couple, Joanne Saucedo and Betty Martin. I think that, and we had... Well, I was just talking members here, Jared, and I'll get to it. And then there's other people who were not members that are close to our hearts, and there are many of those. And I won't give all the names because I'm afraid I'd leave somebody out. But we think about those people who have gone before us, and I think about my parents, I think about friends, and so forth. That's what this Sunday is for. Whenever somebody dies that we care about, we would like to be there. And I think we feel kind of bad if we're not able to be there. I remember when my mom was sick and dying, and I would talk to my dad, and he would say, "Oh, your mom's, she's bad, she's gotten bad." So then I'd throw some clothes in a bag and take off for Minnesota. I'd get there, and then she would rally back. And then I'd come back and work, and then I'd call Dad again a few weeks, month later, and, "Oh, she's bad again." Okay, so I'd zip up. Well, finally, I couldn't do this anymore. And I just said, "Well, okay, she's bad again. After Friday night after work, I'll come up." So I had my bags packed, going to leave right from work. And that morning, that Friday morning, my dad called and said, "Your mom just died." Well, then I felt guilty because I thought, "Oh, shoot. I should have gone when he called." And then even if we have a good relationship and we have everything kind of settled, it's a weird thing, but we oftentimes still feel some guilt. Like, should I have told him I loved him one more time? Did I have any resentments that were still there? I should have been there. I should have left. That's part of grieving, is that guilt is one of the stages of grieving. But it doesn't feel very good. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus was faced with the same situation. He had good friends in Bethany, Lazarus, and his sisters Martha and Mary. You remember Martha, the one who got chided for doing too much stuff around the house, you know, like, "Come here, tell my sister, come here out in the kitchen and help me with this stuff." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff. Mary's doing the thing that's important. She's sitting at my feet listening." So remember, Martha got chided for that. But these are his good friends. And this was a place, I think, he was there many times. And this appears to be a place where Jesus could actually be himself. You know, where nobody was looking, trying to find something, trying to trap him with something, trying to get something on him, trying to criticize him. This is a place where he could just go and be. And if he could teach a little bit, okay, fine, talk a little bit. So these were close friends. And they left there. They were in trouble there. People were threatening them. And then a messenger was sent and said, "The one that you love, Lazarus, the one that you love is deathly ill." And then Jesus inexplicably piddles around for two more days before he decides to go back. And he says to the disciples, "Oh, yeah, our brother Lazarus has fallen asleep. We need to go back to Bethany." And they're like, "Well, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get up. There's no sense us going there. They want to kill us." So, no, Jesus said plainly, "He's dead." Oh, that's a little different. So then they went back. And as they got there, Martha comes out to meet him. And she says to him, "Oh, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." See, there's that pull. "You should have been here. If only you'd been here, our brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" "Yeah, well, sure, at the end time, but, you know, kind of implied that doesn't do us much good right now." Lazarus could have been their only source of support, too, for these sisters. We don't know. So it was probably a pretty big loss. And Jesus said, "Well, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that?" And Martha said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is to come." One of the great statements of faith. So she may have kind of struck out before with the big meal, but she hit it, she knocked it out of the park with this one. This is a fantastic statement of faith, rivaled only by Peter's great statement of faith. Ah, yes. And then she went back, told her sister Mary, "The teacher is here." And Mary came out, And Mary says exactly the same thing Martha says. Oh, Lord, if you had just been here, our brother would not have died. Except Mary has a lot more emotional attachment to what she is saying. Mary falls at Jesus' feet and is sobbing. And then the people around started sobbing. And then Jesus started sobbing. This is, by the way, this was the one passage in the Bible we all wanted to memorize for confirmation class. Because in the King James, it's only two words. Jesus wept. We all wanted that one. We didn't. None of us got it, but we tried to memorize. But Jesus wept. And you know, that little verse, two-word verse, probably has meant more to me over the years than all of the lofty treatises of St. Paul. To know that it moved Jesus so much that his friends were hurting like this, even though he knew what he was going to ask the Father to do, it still bothered him so much that disease and death and evil could have this kind of sway on people he loved. It bothered him, and he wept. And the Greek word there is really more, a better translation is like sobbed uncontrollably or was racked with sobbing. It's much stronger than wept. That sounds like one tear escaped down his cheek. No, he sobbed convulsively maybe. He fell apart. However you want, it's a stronger translation than that. It meant that much to Jesus, even though he knew what he was going to ask the Father to do. And then he said, he looked, when they were out by the grave and it was a cave with a stone over it. Whose grave does that sound like? It's kind of a forerunner to Jesus' death and his burial himself. And they went out there and Jesus said, take the stone away. And Martha, always the practical one, said, oh Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Well, 4 days is significant for a couple of reasons. The Jews believe that a person's spirit hovered for about 3 days over the body and then was gone. Well, he's been dead 4 days. There's no hovering. There's no coma. He's good and dead. Then Martha adds, rather indelicately, Lord, he has been dead 4 days. Already there is a stench about him. The Jews did not embalm, you know, like the Egyptians did. So, you know, you open the tomb, if you love the smell of decomp in the morning, that's what you're going to get. Oh, Lord, there is a stench. And then, again, in the King James, sometimes you have to read the King James to really get the starkness of these things. Jesus wept. Well, here's King James on this. Lord, he stinketh. Well, that's okay. So he's not just dead. He's good and dead. He's past 3 days. He's stinking dead. I think that's important so that people don't, well, he just passed out for a little bit or, you know, took a large nap. No, he's dead. And then Jesus stood and called in a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come out! And then he came out. The formerly dead man came walking out, but not walking very well because he was still bound up in all of his burial cloths. He was still wrapped up like Return of the Mummies. And then Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. That's important because so many times people have a chance at newness of life and they still stay wrapped up in their old burial cloths. Let me give you an example of this. We had a young man in drug alcohol treatment who had literally been revived from the dead, had a good stab of Narcan and defibrillation and chest compressions. Literally brought back from the dead, not just figuratively like some of us have, you know, had times where we thought we felt like we were dead. He literally was. So he was revived, then he had a chance to be in treatment, he had family week, he had, you know, the opportunity for new life and so forth. And then we were talking about what he was going to do after this in group one day. And he was getting a little irritated, people talking about dropping the old buddies, the drinking buddies and using buddies and, you know, change your playmates, change your playgrounds. We were having that discussion. And he said, well, these guys are good friends of mine and I'm still going to go back to the bar and be with them, but I just won't drink. I'll just drink soda pop. And we went, oh, yeah, that ought to work out. And one of the older guys in the group who had been through a couple of relapses and kind of knew how this went, and he started laughing at him. He says, what are you laughing at? He says, well, you don't go to a whorehouse just to get kissed. And alcoholics don't go to bars to drink soda pop. He still had his old burial cloth around. He was still dead. Unbind him and let him go. And sometimes it happens to us. We get a chance at a new kind of relationship, or we get a chance at new opportunities, and you know, and instead of making the changes that we need, we still stay wrapped up in our old burial clothes. Yes, I want to be really different, but I want to do everything the same as I used to. Well, you still got the old burial clothes on you. You're not willing, I want a better relationship, but I don't want to give up my resentments. I want them to give up their resentments. I want a good relationship, but I don't want to, you know, drop my grudge and my anger and my postponing things and procrastinating, my oversensitivity, my self-pity. No, I don't want to drop all that. Unbind him and let him go. You're still wrapped up. All of us are still wrapped up in our old death clothes. Today is All Saints Sunday. And we think of the example of the saints who have gone before us. And we remember them. And we remember the witness they gave to us. And we think about where we are headed, that we can see them again. And we want to make sure that we get the Reformation message we heard last week about the freedom of the gospel. You are free. You are created new to live again. You are free. And most of all, we want to remember, unbind them and let them go. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.